Hi everyone, and welcome to our PMA mini podcast series, To Team or Not to Team. I'm your host, Div Manikam, a product marketing leader with experience of leading B2B SaaS initiatives in startups and Fortune 500 technology companies for over 10 years. In this series, we'll be exploring a range of topics related to product marketing, team structure, and in this opening episode, I'm delighted to be joined by April Rasa, Senior Director of Global Product Marketing, Content and Communications at HackerOne. April specializes in a variety of areas, including business strategy, corporate marketing, positioning messaging, competitive analysis, communication strategies, just to name a few. She helps companies outperform their industry rivals by instilling new thinking into the core of the organization and identifies, develops, and acts on profitable growth opportunities and game-changing business strategies. Thank you so much, April, for this wonderful opportunity, and thank you for joining me. Let's kick it off.
April, tell us a little bit about yourself, your role, what got you into product marketing, any fun facts that you think our listeners or viewers should know today?
Sure. Hey, Div. Great to see you again. I guess I'll just start on the personal side. I'm originally from the Midwest. I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. I started actually my career on the services side, so on the communication side, helping organizations think about their communication strategy and PR. And then really from there transitioned into marketing when one of my clients hired me in-house. And that's really when the journey started. I was doing corporate marketing, product marketing, partner marketing, but I didn't really know that I was actually doing product marketing, where I was getting insights, from customers, working with product. Come to find out that there is a thing called product marketing. And I really liked that aspect of it, where I was really tied to the business and understood sort of the go-to-market, understood sort of the mechanics of how to package things and take them to market, how to help sales and customer success kind of think about the customer journey. That's really where it started. And I kind of anchored around the product marketing function. I guess fun fact for me, I've got three marathons under my belt and three centuries, if you're familiar with biking and road cycling. So really proud of that fact and looking forward to getting on my bike, shortly after this to go. I feel like that's a really good time for me to sort of veg out and listen to music and not think about work.
That's amazing. Wow. You've got marathons and centuries right on your belt. I think when you think about product marketing, it is a marathon in some way at times.
Totally. Yes.
We're always trying to hit a century one way or the other. And I loved your story of how you evolved from not knowing that this was product marketing, but finally got into it. And you're like, this is exactly where I'm meant to be. I think I was on a similar boat where I started my career after my MBA in marketing as the marketing communication specialist. And I was part of the solar business group at Applied Materials, and product marketing wasn't quite shaped at that time. And this was, I'm talking about 10, 11 years ago, where we all did parts and parcels of it, but we didn't quite call it that. And then when I discovered product marketing, I was like, that's the role I want to be, where I have both the technical hat and the creative hat coming together. And
exactly.
It's like one of those magical like jobs where you're like, I wonder why this didn't exist all this while. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. So we'll do a quick teaser. And this is just to get our audience excited about what's coming in the next 20 minutes. Could you share an interesting product marketing team structure story? It could be one that was either funny or risky or somewhere in between. Either you might have experienced it or you might have heard somebody share the story and you're like, I'm so glad I'm not part of that team.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, this is super top of mind because just the other day, one of my good friends called me and she was kind of entertaining a new opportunity in product marketing at a company. And she wanted to kind of run the pros and cons with me. And I was happy to do it. So we started talking about the role and she was really excited. And she's like, the only part that I'm a little unsure of is, this role and the whole product marketing team, there's only three of us, but they report into sales. And I was like, okay, well, let's maybe kind of dig into that a little bit. So what exactly are going to be like your responsibilities? And she's like, yeah. So, you know, she's probably, you know, 4 years into her career. And she was like, well, it's, you know, sales enablement and helping our sales team really kind of understand how to take things to market. And then I started kind of digging in, and it sounded very much like you're going to basically do like sales enablement, a lot of like collateral work, a lot of like content work. And I'm like, where exactly are you seeing the strategy part? I'm not quite catching that. And she's like, you know, that didn't really come up, but they were really excited about the opportunity of like taking things to market. And they kept saying that. And I was like, well, so then I kind of walked her through. I'm like, you know, there's different thoughts. Obviously, product marketing can fit in a lot of different organizations, such as product or marketing or sales. But you got to be really crisp and clear on sort of what your goals are and what success looks like. Because in this role, it seems like they're just kind of using the product marketing function to really help enable the sales team to be, you know, sufficient. And it sounded like it was just mostly a lot of like content work and a lot of sort of sales enablement. And you don't necessarily want to be, you know, creating slides all the time and being like a collateral junkie. Yeah. And so when I mentioned that to her, she was like, okay, yeah, that's a good point. Let me think about that more.
Unless she wants to be a sales enablement manager, right? I mean, no offense to their role. There is a need for it. And if the company is trying to make one person do two jobs where they're doing both product marketing and sales enablement, then I guess they should be paid for travel. But at the same time, that's a good story for listeners, because we definitely have folks that are in their career trying to look at what's the next opportunity out there. So thank you so much, April, for sharing that.
I would say
definitely in between the funny and the risky part, for sure. Good luck to your friend. I hope she finds the right product marketing role where she's excited about it and she gets to think about it more as the product marketing individual as compared to trying to fill gaps that the company has, which we have all been there, where we jump in as the first product marketing hire, or we are the second or third, and we're like, I don't think that's what I joined for, but hey, what do you need us to do? We'll do it. We are really good at putting those multiple hats on and just going from one fire to the other. All right, so let's actually kick into some of our questions that we have. The first one, and this is probably my favorite, where we talk about, what do you think makes a good team structure in product marketing? Right, we just talked about sales enablement, how you could think it's product marketing, but it's not. So what do you think a good team structure would look like? And if we could focus on the product line and platform aspect, that would be awesome.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think just the caveat to answer that, I think this, there is no silver bullet. I think it really varies on sort of the goals of the organization. And it, you know, obviously is going to vary across the board. I think, you know, from my perspective, what I think, you know, can work really well is sort of aligning the product managers and product marketing folks to the product SKUs that an organization has, in an almost sort of a, what I look at as sort of a hybrid approach. You want to build sort of a matrix of core, you know, priorities and ways that you think about taking products to market and making sure that you have the PM, PMM collaboration in place. But then you also want to make sure that there's like a career growth for the product managers to give them a well-rounded perspective on what are all of the different motions that go into taking things to market. So for example, you could structure it where you have the current team mapped to not only product SKUs, but then augment specialties within that team. So that could mean a person is maybe really good at creating messaging and they have a messaging framework, and then using that person as the expert on messaging, but then helping train other folks within the product marketing team and even the product team as far as how do you take messages to market. A person could be really good at a go-to-market launch and all of the nuances that go into the different kinds of launches, from a big launch to a feature launch and so on. And you can also expand that into core specialties around how do I think about growing and expanding? How do I think about retaining? So those are some areas that I've utilized within my team to be able to help round out specialties. And then you can do rotations. So basically start to get people to understand like all of those different facets might be a good approach to think about.
That's perfect. And I think that's an important aspect when we think about the product marketing team structure, right? Yes, there may be folks, and I always would talk about my senior product marketing manager that I had in my previous role as the wizard that could do magic with words. Like the rest of the team will have like ideas and everything, but then we have this one person who is the magic maker. He would just make words flow if that's a thing. And we would always rely on him. We were like, hey, this is where we are going. This is where we think it should be. We talk about our products and we try to tell like a platform story, but then somehow he knew how it needed to go through. And so we would take benefit on each other's strengths. And for that person, project management was not their strength. And so we're like, hey, the rest of the team can help you kind of get there. So understanding where their strengths are was important. So the next question that I have is, how do you think about complementing the skill sets and talents across your team, right? Like you talked about giving that well-rounded structure and giving everybody the opportunity, but how do you think about complementing skill sets when you're hiring talent from outside?
I think that's a really good point. I think like any good leader, you want to kind of understand maybe just personally, where are the gaps that you have and how do you augment that with your team? So for example, maybe you're not as strong on the pricing and sort of the packaging piece. Are there folks that you can bring in or, you know, capabilities where they can help augment you personally and the team and be sort of that value add? Are there ways that you can think about, like you touched on maybe project management, maybe, you know, there's a product marketing person that is really good at sort of like the end-to-end sort of processes and connecting the dots. And that's a skill set that you need across the team. Can you lean on that? I think overall, you want a well-rounded team that can be really strong in terms of their conceptual ability, their ability to be empathetic, both from a sales, from a customer perspective, from a product perspective. They definitely need to be collaborative because you're kind of at the nexus of all of these teams. You need to build relationships. You need to make sure that you're over-communicating. You need to make sure you're collaborating. And then, you know, are they good in terms of sort of data? And that's the other piece, I think, in terms of, you know, as you think about what success looks like from a product marketing lens, you need to make sure that you've got the data insights from what you're seeing and bringing that into the fold. So those are probably some examples and core sort of skill sets that I look at to augment the team overall.
Do these skill sets, so when you're looking to hire, do these skill sets help you rule out or say, hey, I don't think these might be good candidates or good fits based on those skill sets? Or is it one of those gray areas where you kind of know in the gut and you're like, okay, this person would be a perfect fit for the team and it would be complemented?
Yeah, I think if there's latitude for the individual and you see the growth potential, that's kind of, you know, you have a vision of where you want your product marketing team to go, right? And you've mapped out that vision, you've articulated it with the core team, and you start to bring in folks that can help bring that to fruition. Then you start to think, okay, maybe they're not there today, but they have these core tenets that are really going to help us, you know, get there. And that's where you take the risk and you bring maybe someone that, you know, doesn't fit the JD exactly to the T, but you're like, you know what, this person's going to be there for the long term and I'm going to hire for the long term, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the right way to look at it, because if you think, we are all being honest with ourselves, our job description, nobody's going to fit 100%.
That's right. That's right.
It's us trying our best attempt to say, hey, here's all the possibilities, your opportunities of what you could look at this role to be. But the reality is when they join, then they have the opportunity to shape the role, identify what their strengths are and complement that into the portfolio and the skill sets that we're looking. That's awesome. So let's actually dive into the third question, which ties along the lines of what I like to call a high-purpose product marketing team. So before, I used to always think about high-performance product marketing team, where it was always about the results. But then now I've kind of coined it to be high-purpose, primarily to think about us being more strategic, us thinking about the future vision, the long-term thoughts. So do you think values and beliefs are key to building a high-purpose product marketing team? And I would love to just pick your brain on what would those values and beliefs look like if you would go in that direction?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, 100%. I do think they are. I think it kind of varies around the gamut. But I would say integrity. I think openness. I think trust. I think concern for, like, having as a leader, and I'm talking from a leader perspective, like having concern for the growth of your team isn't just about like having words on a table that says like, this is the mission and this is the vision of the company. It's showing that you can prove that to the team through your actions. Right. And so as a leader, like, you lead by example. And so, you know, I'm like pretty direct. I'm very transparent. I'm very communicative. So I think if you can, you know, bring that to the team, and that's the culture that you want to have. So at the end of the day, those are the values and beliefs for building, to your point, that high purpose, you know, product marketing team. I think, you know, ultimately my philosophy has always been to, you know, celebrate the achievements, you know, share the credit, collaborate, allow the space for your team and your staff to grow, to augment their skills, to build cred and relationships across the org, and help unblock like where they are and help them, you know. So those are kind of like the key tenets that I look at.
That's awesome. And I love it that they're exactly the tenets that we have. So I usually call those the three I's. Inspire, influence, and impact. And it's all about trust and credibility. It's about extreme ownership. It's about building those results and relationships, right? Because the truth is, the product marketer is the connector. And it doesn't matter where you are in the organization, whether you're in marketing, in product, or even in sales, you have to bridge the gap and actually build bridges across those three functions to actually make magic happen, like actually make things work. Because we in product marketing are not the tinkerers. Like, we can get things out, but if everyone's not saying the same story, the same narrative, things will start cracking and you'll start seeing gaps in between. And so, yeah, it's like, for me, those values and beliefs are what helped me shape who I want to be as a product marketer, and then also for my team to think about it in the same way. So I love that. So let's actually talk about, and you put this in a teaser, the how a team structure could be done right, or how a team structure could go wrong sideways, right? We talked about the sales enablement role. If you want to add on more to that, or if there's another right one that you want to talk about, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Yeah. I can touch on sort of, you know, things to maybe consider from a team structure kind of done right. You know, I think at the end of the day that the ratio typically in organizations between product marketing and product are not exactly one-to-one, you know, and so it's a struggle when you're kind of aligning to core products or initiatives that you're taking to market or feature capabilities. And so I think the way to maybe consider that is just to have that crisp alignment as far as, what are we striving towards? And what are the KPIs that are going to help move the needle for the business? So there might be a whole slew of features that we want to take to market from a product perspective. And that's going to take a lot of cycles on the product marketing side that, frankly, none of us are going to be staffed to be able to do. So it's really understanding, to your point, like, what is that positioning and what is that narrative that's going to drive the business? And then how do we augment and supplement that with the core, maybe features that you have to launch or themes on a quarterly basis that you can be thinking about launching? So I guess my only advice, it's, you know, more around just how do you think about that team structure? And again, for this for this podcast, it's really around sort of how do you think about it from a product perspective. So we're going to be inundated with a lot of different features and functionalities that we have to think about crafting and taking to market. It's stepping back and understanding, okay, if this is our North Star and this is where we want to go as a company, then how do these kind of map to that overall narrative? And there's some that are going to be just blocking and tackling that, frankly, the market's not going to care about. And you want to make sure that your customers know about it, right? And so understanding those trade-offs and being communicative to the internal folks so that there's clarity, so that everything isn't deemed as a launch.
Yes.
Right.
And I think that was also one of my biggest learnings in my first role, where you're like, hey, my product is the best product. We have all these cool features that everybody in the world wants to know about. And then we dive deeper and we're like, actually, there's a subset of the group that you're talking about that would be interested. So let's actually target them and also start talking about product prioritization. That's probably like our favorite conversation between product marketing and product management about roadmap prioritization. They're like, we've already prioritized the roadmap. You just need to go deliver on the marketing
right.
side of it.
Right. I mean, like,
yes, we can, but we don't have all the resources that you're asking for. So let's actually be pragmatic on what's a tier one launch, what's a tier two launch, and help them also understand what that is. So yeah, it's a fun exercise, and it's always a good learning on both sides, where you're like, oh, I don't really know if that would be a case or not. So let's actually switch gears a little bit. And the last two questions are more around thinking about the leader and what you can share. So when you think about building a product marketing function, say this is the first time you're doing it, or maybe you've built one, but it didn't quite work the way you wanted to, so you're rejigging and working through it. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that we should consider as a product marketing leader? Are there swim lanes? Are there some, like, there is no cookie cutter, hey, here is exactly what a product marketing team should look like. So any advice, guidance that you can provide for leaders, what they should be thinking of?
Sure. Yeah, I think I think there's been a lot of inroads as far as just the product marketing team and sort of the function as a whole and its maturity, you know, in the marketplace. I think there's still a lot of room there, but you know, I think as a leader, thinking about how do I build the function, I think there just needs to be clear, very clear division of responsibilities between what product teams do and what product marketing does and where the intersection is. I think there's still a lot of sort of, you know, maybe confusion across, you know, organizations. So defining, you know, these are the, you know, when you're thinking about taking a product to market, these are the functions that product marketing is going to be owning. This is how the product management you know, teams work. And then making sure that the leaders are aligned on those. And then it all starts from there and bringing that down to fruition to your core teams to make sure that there's clarity. So when you're taking a product to market, who's on point, who's doing what, who's doing the assessment in terms of the overall TAM, who's doing sort of the market strategy, who's doing the product strategy, how are you helping influence the product strategy? All of those, I think, are just nuances that you need to do it right before you even open a JD and make sure that there's internal alignment. I think there's a tendency to just put everything under the product marketing function of like, oh, well, they're on point for all of these things, including enablement, like we touched on enablement and, you know, all of this. And there's like four roles into one. And there's no way that you can provide success and bringing someone into that role. So I think it's just do a little bit of homework, understand some best practices from companies that are doing it well, so that you can, you know, augment the team there.
That's awesome. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes as well, because I think we'll see different flavors of how product marketing functions have evolved and what might be a right product marketing function structure within your own organization. One that I always enjoy is the RACI, where we often start with, hey, this is, and it's not just product marketing and product management, right? When we are in large organizations, you also see corporate marketing and content marketing and demand generation and customer marketing and partner marketing.
Right.
Like it's a spectrum that once you go deep, you can build a spreadsheet all the way from A to Z and it will not be done. But I think sometimes it's necessary so that we have that alignment across the leaders. So I love the input that you gave, and also making sure we at least have clarity on what that swim lane looks like. It's not that we don't want to help others. It's just making sure folks know that we are helping, and it's not a job for forever where we will keep doing that as the company and the team scale. So the last thing I would love to hear from you is any tips or guidance that you can give from your experience. Right? You've been on the high roads, the low roads, pretty much all in between, but to help new product marketing leaders who is trying to build their team for the first time. Any gotchas, anything that you're like, hey, if somebody had told me this 5 years or 10 years ago, this would have really helped me. What would those look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say the first is just be you and lead by example. I think it's, you know, it's so easy to just have these expectations in your mind and not be able to articulate those. I think it's show what great looks like, you know, provide examples, provide templates, be communicative. Don't leave things up for interpretation. I think, you know, it takes work to be good and an effective leader. You need to kind of build the foundation and the processes, and they just don't happen, and don't leave it to interpretation. So just be very clear. I think also just that the other piece is like being really clear on sort of what success really looks like. So having those core metrics that you want the team to be anchored on, and so they know how they're going to be measured and help kind of pave the way they're going to grow and what that career path looks like and how are you going to get there. There's a lot to being a really good leader. It takes a lot of work. But I think if you can show the team that you care and that this is the path they can get there, you know, you'll build a really good team.
I love that. I think it all comes to leading by example, like you had shared an earlier example scenario. And this will wrap up our session, but I really want to thank April, because you are genuinely a leader that people look up to, that people are not just saying that, hey, we are achieving results, but you're taking the time to take care of your team, to make sure that you're thinking about their growth. So I love that about you. And it's awesome to see how you have grown in your own career. So thank you so much, April, for taking the time today. And you said it right. We just have to be our own authentic selves, because there is no, hey, this is what April as a leader is going to look like. And you may learn from other leaders where you're like, oh, I like what they're doing there. And you might be like, oh, I definitely don't like what they're doing there. I will never do that in my career. And then kind of create what leadership looks like for yourself. So I think product marketing leadership is like that, where maybe 20 years from now, we might be able to say, oh, yeah, we know exactly how this is supposed to look like, just like some of the engineering. Yes. But our industry is evolving. Even product marketing is evolving to different facets, from product marketing to solution marketing to portfolio marketing. So I think time will tell. And I really appreciate all the time you took today and for sharing your valuable insights. Thank you, April. And
thanks, Dev. Thanks so much.
We could both connect, even though you are in the San Francisco Bay Area and I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, for sure. It was great to see you again.
Likewise.
Take care.